pleasure to welcome everyone to this year. We look forward to a year of Hatzlacha, not only in Lumdus, but also in Avos Torah and Yerushalayim as well. I wanted to begin with Shir Psicha regarding the concepts of Eiris and Nisun. After all, if you go through the very first sugya, it's hard to move without understanding the various stages of Ishus and the differences practically and conceptually between an Isha who's an Arusa as opposed to one who is an Nisun. The Braisa tells us in Ksuvas and Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph that Tanina, that Ishto Arusa, La Onen V'lo Mitamala, the Chenhi, La Onenes V'lo Mitamala. That if you only have the first stage of marriage, Irisin alone, so the halachi is that Lo Onen, the spouse will not become in the state of Aninus if the other one dies. This is the Nafkamina. The Gemara mentions of Aninus, Avelus, and Tuma as a difference between Irisin as opposed to Nisun. What exactly is the halacha of Aninus? So we know we just learned this past Shabbos in Dvarim Perek Vav regarding Vidya Maisen. The part of what the individual says is V'la'achalti ba'oni mimenu. And from there the Torah tells us explicitly that a person who is in the state of Aninus is not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni. Not only is this true of Maiser Sheni, but certainly is true when it comes to Kodshim as well. The Torah tells us in Vayikra and Perek Yud and Parsha Shmini, in the conversation of Aaron HaKohen to Moshe Rabbeinu, where Aaron says, V'atikreno sikoela, as a result of everything that now has happened to me, the tir of Nadav Navil, achalti chata sayom heita b'ni Hashem, would it have been appropriate for me to eat of the carbon chatos? Certainly not. And therefore the pasuk tells us again explicitly that an onen is not allowed to partake in kodshim, and that even applied to Aaron Kohen Gadol as well. So achilas kodshim and achilas ma'aser sheni certainly is forbidden to one who is an onen. And the Mishnah tells us in Zvachim and Daf, Zvachim and Beis, this is what the Rambam writes in Perak Beis, Halacha Vav, Hatilchos Diyas HaMikdash, that this is not only true of Achilas Kodshim, this is true when it comes to Avoda as well. That there's an Isser for a Kohen who is an Onen to do Avoda, and even more so that Avodas Upsula, if he does Avoda, even B'dieved, the Avoda is Mechulelis. This again is based on the Pasuk in Parshas Emor, Vayikra Perak HaPalim, where the Torah distinguishes between a Kohen Hedyet as opposed to Kohen Gadol. When it comes to Kohen Gadol, then the Pasuk says, HaMikdash lo yetzei, lo yechalel, that a Kohen Gadol, even if he is an Onen, he is allowed to do Avoda. A Kohen Hedyot, for example, is Aser, and if he does so, the Avoda is Psul. In addition to these halachas that you find Daraisa, Achilas Kodshim, and Achilas Maaser Sheni, and Isra doing Avoda, the Mishnah tells us, as you know in Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin, that Misha Mason Mutulafanav, if Rachman Lutan, a person has lost a close karo, so that person is exempt from mitzvah sasei. There's a pturi mitzvos, either Misham Kvod HaMeis, or because Osik the mitzvah, Potter Meha mitzvah. And that very daf, in Brachos Naf Yitzayin Abeis, the Gemara quotes a brisa from Perigudah Mesechus Machos, that there also is an Isser of Basar V'yayin. Those are the halachos of a person who is in the state of Animus. How do we know that this is true? That when it comes to Aninus, there should be a difference between an Arusa as opposed to an Nesua, that if one is fully married, Malitzlan, his wife passes away, in such a case, yes, he is an Onen, but if all you have is Erisin, that's not. So that's based on the Parsha of Tumah. When the Torah mentions, again, in the beginning of Parsha Semor, in Vayikra, and Perek Chavalev, the halachos of Tuas Konim, the Pasuk mentions that, normally speaking, of course, a Kohen is not allowed to be Metami L'meis, with exception of certain Krogim. And the Pasuk says that Ki'im L'Shera HaKarovela. Shera HaKarovela, that La Yitama. That certainly is permitted. Good? So therefore, the Gemara assumes the following Kiddush, that here She'era is referring to Ishto, and not just simply Ishto who is Arusa, but rather Ishto Nesua. So if you have the individual who is a Kohen, and his wife passes away, in such a case, if there was Nesuin, yes, he is Netami for her. If it is an Arusa, that would not be the case. That's the drasha of She'era, a Karabelov, which is a reference to a Nesua. If you take a look at the Rashbam is found in Balabastra in the Kutesim and Beis, in Dibur Maskel She'ero, the Rashbam quotes the Pasuk of Vahayu Lebosar Efa, the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis Perek Beis, and he also writes, because of Nami, the Pasuk of She'era Ksusa Vonasa Lo Yigra, Shmos Perek Avalev. So you see the concept of She'er, it means She'er Basar. There's a certain sense of Kiru Basar, and that obviously is only true when it comes to Ishto Nesua, and not when it comes to Isho Arusa. The Braisa mentions these halachos. There's a difference when it comes to aninus, when it comes to avelos, when it comes to tuma. And all this is based on the fact that the pasuk goes out of its way and tells us ki'im l'she'ero ha'karavelo. This will be very important in terms simply of definition of arusa nesua, looking at the different terms that the pasuk uses in describing an eishes ish. So therefore, again, this Braisa tells us in Ksuvos Nachman Gimel and Aleph that lo mitamila. What exactly does that mean? Sarashi says the Braisa is referring to one who is a kohen. If he is a kohen, there's an issur for him to make himself tummy for ishta arusa only when it comes to isha nesua. And Rashi explains, based on the Gemara and Zvachim and Dabku, if it's an isha arusa, in such a case, then inokinami, it's an asur. If, however, it's ishto nesua, so it's not just simply a rishus, that the kohen may become tummy, but rather mitamin also balkarcha. It means that the Kohen is obligated to be mechala his kedushas kahuna for ishto nesua. Good? And then the Braisa continues and tells us the same thing is true regarding the woman, that if it is ishto arusa, so the woman, lo mitame lo, she is not to become tame for her husband. Again, Rashi is bothered here in Ksuvos Daf and Gimel, exactly what that means. After all, a Kohen is not allowed to become tame. However, here, ishto, when bas kohen, there is no restriction of tumah. So what does the Braisa mean when it says that all you have is erisim, and ishto arusa lo mitame lo? So Rashi says it means eina chayeves mitame lo. There's no obligation if she wants to. Of course she can become tameya in order to participate in the kfura, the levaya of her husband. However, there is no chiyuv to do so. And Rashi emphasizes, if it will be ishto nesua, so in such a case, then chayeves mitame lo. Then there is a chiyuv to go ahead and do so. This is what Rashi writes later as well. In Ksuvos and Daf Pei Tesumaveis, Rashi comments that generally speaking, there's a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv, that one becomes tameh, l'meisim hamurim b'parsha. And when the Braisa tells us that ishto arusa lo mitameh lo, it means here there is no chiyuv, but it's only considered to be rishus. But certainly, there is no iser, there's no parsha b'tanas kohenim when it comes to kohenis. There is a comment that Rashi has, it's found in Yevamos, in the Kof Tesma Beis, where Rashi writes that maybe you could interpret the Braisa of lo mitame lo to mean that there is an iser, that we wouldn't allow this wife to become tame for her husband. What is the case? Rashi writes, the li nira, that lo mitame kigon beregel. Maybe it's referring to a yantiv. And the Gemara tells us in the Shoshan Daf Tezaima Beis, that chayiv adam letaharis atzmo beregel. During a yantif, a person is obligated to maintain a level of tahara. And therefore, if it's only after erisin, then we would not allow the wife to metami to her husband, because in that case, there's an isr to become tame, not only for a kohen, but also for a yisrael as well. That's how Rashi explains this brais and ksuvis, and often gimel and aleph, in explaining the differences of aninos and velos and tuma regarding erisin as opposed to the case of Nisun. Rashi assumes, again, as mentioned, right, the simple understanding, and that is when the pasuk goes out of its way in the beginning of Parsha Zemar and tells us ki'in, it means if you have a Yisrael, obviously Yisrael is obligated to become tameh for krovim. The question you'll raise is, what about when it comes to a kohen? So the pasuk goes out of its way and tells us that, yes, a kohen as well is obligated to do so. Mitamin also bakar. Not for us right now, but if you look in the Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Avel, Halacha Vav, the Rambam has a unique shita. The Rambam writes a striking chiddush. The Rambam writes that lo yitama, the fact that one is mitami for krovim, is a mitzvah saseh, and mitamin also b'karcha. It's not just a rishus. You're obligated to become tamei. And then the Rambam writes b'med v'mamurim, who is obligated in this mitzvah? The Rambam writes b'zacharim she'uzrel hatuma. It only applies to the Kohen. However, HaKohenes, if it's a Bas Kohen, so there's no restriction of Tumah, and therefore, Eino Mitzvos Litam in the Krovim. Therefore, she does not have any such mitzvah whatsoever. It's a great Kiddush that the Rambam writes. That's the Hasogas Haraivim. Hoshub Shat in the Parsha, when the Torah goes out of its way in Parsha Semor, and tells us a Kohen is Matami Lameis, it means not only the Yisrael, not only a Kohenes, but even a Kohen. The Rambam understands that no, it's only for the Kohen to become Tameh. Well, let's assume a Kohenis, for example, she has no restrictions of Tumah, and therefore, there is no mitzvah for her to become Tameh. A great, great Kiddush. But Rav once explained, this is printed in the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Amori, you see, according to the Rambam Shita, that lo yitama means the following, that chilul kedushas kahuna, the Kohen being mitame himself, is part of the kiyum avelus. It's not just simply urshus. The Kohen demonstrates that he is an avel by desecrating his kedusha. Chilul kedushas kahuna is part of the kiyum of avelus itself. And therefore the Rambam writes, it only applies to the Kohen, doesn't apply to the Kohenis. Good, but this all emanates from that brisa, Ksuvas Nachum Gimel. That's the first set of differences between Erisin and Nisuin. What will be very important for us, but it's all rooted in the fact that the Torah refers to this Eishas Ish not simply as Ishto, but rather as She'erim. The same thing is true, the brisa tells us, continuing in Ksuvas Nachum Gimel, when it comes to Yerusha, the brisa says a second upcoming, that Mesa, that Eino Yarsha, that the halacha of Baal Yoreshes Ishto only applies to Ishto Nesua, it does not apply to Ishto Arusa. Yerusha Sabal, that's the second Nafkamina. This is a Mishnah in Bava Basra and of Kuches Amar Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us that Ha'ish Yoreshes Ishto, a concept of Yerusha Sabal. And this is a Machlokes Tanoim, a Machlokes Amoraim, Machlokes Lahalacha, Rishonim as well. Whether Yerusha Sabal is a Din D'Araisa, whether Yerusha Sabal is only a din, drabanim. If you look, for example, in the Rambam, in Hilchos Ishus, in Perikit Beis Halacha Gimel, and in Hilchos Nachlos, Perik Aleph Halacha Ches, the Rambam refers to Yerusha Sabal as only being Midivrei Sofrim, and the Hasagas arrive at is that no, Yerusha Sabal is in fact a din d'araisa. But clearly, there is a difference between Erisin as opposed to Nisumin. Why exactly is that true? So that also is rooted in the very same term which is used in the Pasuk. The Braisa tells us in Bava Basra of Kufir Aleph that the Pasuk says in the Satam es Nachaloso, the She'ero HaKaro Velo, the same term, She'er, is used. And the Gemara is Doresh, that She'ero Zuishto. And since the Pasuk goes out of its way and uses the term She'er, so therefore that's what the Mishnah assumes, that it's only referring to a Nesua, not referring to an Arusa. Second difference that you have between Erisin and Nisun. And then, of course, the Mishnah tells us in Nidarim, and Daf Samach Vav Mudbeis, that there's a difference when it comes to the Skus Hapara. The Mishnah tells us that regarding a Nara Humarasa, Avia Ubala Mefir Nidarim. As you know, that Haparas Nidarim is only done, right, as a Shuktis, between the Av and the Baal. How do we know that this is true? So again, the Gemara points to the Psukim. When you look into Midbar, Perek Lamed, first the Pasuk mentions the skus of an Av in Haparas Nadarim. The Pasuk says, V'im heini avia osa. Clearly, whether this girl's neder is binding or not, squarely dependent on the Av. You look a little bit later in the Parsha, in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yigimel, then the Pasuk says, V'im hafer yafer osam isha. The Pasuk speaks about the skus hafara that the Baal has. So the Parsha begins with speaking about the skus ha'av, and then the Parsha continues and tells us the skus that the Baal has. So the Gemara asks, in the Dharma, Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, that Naro Rasa Min Allah, where do you see that there's a joint skus hafara? We know the Pasuk mentions a couple of possibilities. Sometimes the av, sometimes the Baal. Where do you see that now that Avil Ubala Mefir Nedareha? The Gemara says, the name of Rabba, the following Kiddush. Sandwiched in between those Tzukim, where the Pasuk mentions Av and then mentions Baal, the Pasuk says the following, V'im hayosi yelo ish unidareha aleha. All of a sudden, in the middle, the Pasuk says, Im hayosi yelo ish. So therefore, looking at the Tzukim, the Pasuk starts, Im heni avia osa, iskusa av. The Pasuk continues and says, V'im hayosi yelo ish, in the middle, and then the Pasuk continues, in base isha nadara, then the Baal has the skus hafara. So the Gemara assumes again, din d'araisa, that there's a crucial distinction between hayos sihiyeh le'ish as opposed to base isha nadara. Hayos sihiyeh le'ish is referring to erisin. Base isha nadara is referring to nisuin, the whole concept of base uzuishto. And that's exactly the Seder HaPsukim. You start out with the skus hafara, which is uniquely that of the Av. Im hayosi el ish. What does hayosi el ish? Only erisin, not nisun. Now, the Gemara tells us, for example, in Kedushin Daf Hei, that we know that one of the ways for erusin is ayidei shtar, kesef shtar and bia. The Gemara says, shtar minalan, how do you know that a shtar can be used? So the Gemara says, well, look in Parshas Kiseitse. The Pasuk speaks about the Parsha of Gerishin. Gerishin is only ayidei shtar. And then the Pasuk says, v'holcho v'haysa l'ishacher. Havaya, the Gemara says, makish havaya l'yitziya, means erusin. So hayosi hiyele ish means ha'ish arusa. That's a shukfis. Only when you get to the next level of base isha nagara, then can you speak of base zuishto as referring to a case of an isua. So again, the parsha of nedarim is crucial. If the term she'ero is used, or even the term of beso is used, that's a reference to a nesua. This will not just simply be important in terms of a nafkamina nedaraisa, but even conceptually understanding what Nisun is, it's important to realize the psukim, the point in Nisun, the pasuk of She'ero, and the pasuk of Beis Isha Nadara, where the Gemara assumes that Beis Uzalishto is referring to in Nisun. The same thing, of course, is true in Shmuel's Perech Aleph, when it comes to the Chiyuv of Sher Ksus Va'ona. Like that, the Gemara will tell us in Ksuvas and Daf Mem Zayin, this is what the Rambam writes in the very beginning of Perek Yud Beis of Ochosh Yisus. All those halachos, sher, ksus, and ona, only refer to nisuin, not to erusin. The Rambam begins, kishenose adam isha, when you have nisuin, then the Torah passes the chiyuv of sher, ksus, and ona. And if you look in the Ramban, on that pasuk, sher, ksus, and ona, lo yigra, there the Ramban also makes this point, that whenever the pasuk uses the term she'ero, and here, when it uses the term she'ero, ksus, and ona, lo yigra, so in such a case, it's referring to Shero Zuishtu, it's referring to a sense of Kiru Basa, and in such an instance, it's only referring to Nisuin, it is not referring to Mir Eris. In addition to these Nafkaminas Lahalacha, there certainly is a difference when it comes to Onshin, that's explicit in the Basa. The Torah mentions the Onish of Eishas Ish for Nara Murasa, that's an Onish of Skila. When it comes to a case of an Eishas Ish who is in Nisua, then the onesh is one of chenek. So certainly a further din d'oraisa in terms of chomer ha'isur, the onesh of misa. And there is a great kiddush that most Rishonim assume is not that way, but there is a comment that the Tosfos HaRash writes. The Tosfos HaRash is found in Yevamos in the Amidah Amud Aleph, Divramas Til Vaha. Tosfos HaRash quotes the view of Rabbeinu Meir that writes a pretty incredible kiddush that the chiyu kares and the chiyu chatos v'shoge is only when it comes to a nesua, not when it comes to isra of eishes ish regarding arusa. Pretty unbelievable kiddush. When it comes to naru marasa, here the Tosfos HaRash writes leka kares v'lo mechayv al shigagasa chatos, and that's why that an arusa is not mentioned together with the lamed vav priestless. Great kiddush. There is a chiyuv skila, however, there's no chiyuv kares, no chiyuv chatos b'shogeg. That's the Kiddush that the Tosfos HaRash writes in Yevamos and Daf Lamed Amud. These, as mentioned, are not only important in terms of the simple nafkaminas, it's important to know the differences between erusin and nisuin, but conceptually as well. The woman becomes an eishes ish already after erusin. Erusin, the Gemara tells us, is very clear, the opening Mishnah Maseches Kedushin, kesef shtar obia, the kinyan of ishes, that creates erusin. At that point, she is an eishes ish, but she is still out there, didn't consider to be an Eishes Ish, the Vesa Av. What is Nisuin? The Drasha Vesa, when the woman becomes an Eishes Ish, who is now the Beis Habal. It's a Devar Poshut, what Erisin is. That's the Mishnah, Kesar Shtarobiyah. What is Nisuin? That's very unclear. All Rishonim assume conceptually that this is the definition, that now it's an Eishes Ish, who is the Beis Habal. But practically speaking, what is necessary in order to attain that level of Beis Zalishto, that we'll see five shittas in the Rishonim, which stem from the very first sugya here in Ksubis, and Daf Beis Amel. This point, the Gemara also highlights in Yuma, and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, when it comes to Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah tells us, in the very beginning of Maseches Yuma, the need for a Kohen Gadol to be married on Yom HaKippur. After all, the Pasuk says, V'chiper ba'ado ba'beiso, and again, that's the drasha of Beis Zalishto. And the Gemara is explicit that it's insufficient that the Kohen Gadol and his wife merely have erusin. Erusin is not enough. Beis Ozuishta was only a reference to Nisuin, just like in the Parsha of Aparas Adarim, in Beis Ishan Adara. This concept that you need full issues when it comes to Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim will be very relevant for the very first sugya that we'll have. How do you ensure that a Kohen Gadol is married on Yom Kippur? What happens if the wife of the Kohen Gadol will die? So you're familiar with the first mission, the Seches Yuma. Rav Yudah's Shita is that you have to prepare an additional wife to see to it that the Kohen Gadol is married on Yom Kippur. And the Chacham respond and argue that's not true in the Devar Sof. So what do you do according to the Chacham Halacha Maisa? If the wife of the Kohen Gadol will die on Yom Kippur, so that's what the Gemara writes in Yuma Daf Gimel Aleph. So it will mean that the Kohen Gadol must get married on Yom Kippur itself. And marriage does not just simply mean erisin. Marriage means nisuin. So you see from the Gemara an important Kiddush that nisuin is possibly mikir hadin even on Yom HaKippurim. We're going to have to discuss this according to the Rambam Shita. Now the Ram, the very first Daf, Aleph Malaf and Daf Yarif, refers you to the Rambam Shita. What is the definition of nisuin? The Rambam writes, nisuin is yichud harayu leviya. Now, so if that's true, how is it ever possible, even in principle, to have nisuin on Yom Kippur? Tashmi Shamita is one of the inuim. According to the Rambam, it's nisa daraisa. We'll have to see what exactly the Rambam Shita is, the definition of nisuin. But it's clear that the Gemara tells us that Beis Ozuishta regarding Yom Kippur, again, is a reference to nisuin, not simply a reference to Eretz. This point, this difference between Hayosihiyeh as opposed to She'ero or Besa, is made by Rashi as well in Kedushin and Daf Yeremot. Here, the Gemara mentions, this is also crucially important for the first lines of the Gemara, the Skusa of Achilash Truma. The Gemara begins by telling us what happens if a couple has Erisin, and the Chosin is dragging his feet and does not do Nisuin. There comes a point in time where the Chachamim are going to impose a Chiyuv Mizonos, and our Gemara discusses at that point in time the possibility that she, who is an Eishes Kohen, is allowed now to eat Shrum. Who is allowed to eat Shrum as an Eishes Kohen? An Arusa? Or is it necessary that you have full marriage in a Simon? So that's what the Gemara explains, that the Din D'Araisa is Arusa Bas Yisrael Achelas Petruma. But Midaraisa, already after Erisin, she is allowed to eat Truma. That's the Din D'Araisa. How do you know that that's true? So Rashi writes in the Kedushin, Daf Yuma Beis, again, this is essential simply for the first lines of the Gemara, that again, there are two psukim, two different parshios regarding an Eishes Kohen. Rashi writes, if you look in Vayikra, Perach Beis, who is entitled to eat Truma? The Pasuk uses the term of Kinyan Kaspo. Kinyan Kaspo means, right, the Maisa Kinyan of Yishus. That certainly is not Nisuin. That is a reference to Erisin. So Rashi writes, that Pasuk of Kinyan Kaspo is referring to Arusa Bas Yisrael, who midaraiso chelas b'truma. Then Rashi writes the following. Rashi quotes the Sifri, that if you look in Benidbar Perek Yudches, Parshas Korach, so the Pasuk says, Kol Tohor Beveischa. Who is allowed to partake, right, in Matnos Kehuna? Kol Tohor Beveischa. Whoever is part of the Bais of the Kohen. So Rashi writes explicitly, if you only have the Pasuk Kol Tohor Beveischa, that you would say is only a skus, that an Nesua is allowed to do so. The Torah then goes out of its way in Parshas Emor and tells us Kinyan Kaspo to tell us the Chiddush that the Din D'Araisa is even Arusa Bas Yisrael Achelas Petruma. Because if you rely on the Pasuk later in the Midbar Yirches, they're called Tarba Veischa. And Beisul Solisha is only a reference to Nisua. There's a comment in fact that Dor Sameach, and Dor Sameach is found in Hilchos Trumos. And Perek Vav Halacha Gimel, Or Sameach suggests a great Kiddush based on Yerushalmi. What are those two Parshios referring to? Parshas Emor and Parshas Korach. Parshas Emor, or Sameach writes the following Kiddush, is only referring to Achivash Truma. That's the Pasuk of Kinyan Kaspo. The Pasuk of Kol Tohor Beveischa is not only referring to Truma, there it refers to Shar Matnos Kehuna as well. So Sameach suggests a very great Kiddush that as far as Achilash Truma is concerned, Right? That's our sugir in Ksuvas in the Beis Amud Aleph. Then yes, midaraisa arusa bas yisrael chalas patruma. But when it comes to other matnos kahuna, such as chaza v'shok, that is not written in the pasuk of kinyan kaspa. There the pasuk is not referring to chaza v'shok. There you have to come on to the pasuk of kol torah b'beischa. So Samaf suggests a great kiddush that narusa bas yisrael eno chalas b'chaza v'shok. There you need basis of ishto, which is only a reference to enesua, not the reference at all to an arusa. There's even interesting further kiddush. This is developed with extensive marmakomos in the Ragachov and the Safnas Paneach and the Rambam, found in Hokhazishus and Perak Dal Ha'akates. He writes, again, based on the above marmakomos, that you see that there's a world of difference between an Ashes Kohen who is an Arusa as opposed to an Ashes Kohen who is an Asur. An Ashes Kohen who is an Arusa, there he writes, it's simply halacha of Kinyan Kaspa. That's a function of Kinyan. Every Ishus has an element of Kinyan, Isha Niknes. Right? Ramban writes in Kedushin of Tezayin, it's not a Kinyan Shal Mamon, it's what Ramban terms a Kinyan Shal Yisra. But there's a Kinyan of Erisin. That's Kinyan Kaspa. But in no way does it express that there was any elevation of Kedusha. Mashenkin, he writes, when it comes to a Nesua, that certainly is not the case. An Ashes Kohen who is a Nesuna, the language that the Ragachever uses, the Atzma Kuruya Kohenes. That's not simply that there's a Kinyan Kaspa. No, that means that there's an elevation of Kedusha. V'hayu l'basar echad, sheru zuishto. And that, he writes, explains why for certain halachos, it's not just simply enough that there's a skus kinyan of kinyan kaspa, but rather it's necessary for more than that, al kedin, a status comparable to kohenes. Just like a bas kohen has a certain measure of Kedusha, so an ashes kohen has a level of Kedusha as well, but that, he writes, is only determined after Nisuin, when she's Bebeis HaBaal, not when there is a king of Ishus, and she's a Dayin, Bebeis HaAv. So the Skus HaChila, for example, that the Ishus Kohen has after Erisin, is not because of the union of Ishus, but simply a function of Kinyan. The Ragashara, for example, refers you to the Rashi in Yavamos, and after the Nevav Meveis, Rashi writes the following Chiddush. Let's assume, for example, you have a Kedushin that was Be'isin. You have, let's say, an alman of a kohen gadol, or a grush of a chalutz of a kohen hevya. So it's an isser. And all they had was erisin. And enochinami, chai ishus, nisun, is going to be nisr daraisa. So Rashi writes that according to several tanaim, Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, they are allowed at that point to eat truma. That's what Rashi writes, a great kiddush. Why is that true? Because again, the fact that Arusa Bas Yisrael Chalas Petruma is not a function of an elevation of Kedusha, of Chayishus, that no, it's just simply a function of Kinyan. So therefore Rashi writes the following. Right now, Kinyan Kaspo has been attained. Kinyan Kaspo can be attained even if the Kedushin is forbidden. Even though it's what we call Al-Kedin, Mishtar Meres, the Biapsula. Even though the next stage will be Aser. And that will render her a chalala, and certainly she can't eat. But Rashi writes a great kiddush that after erisin, even aman l'kohen gadol, or grush v'chalutz l'kohen hedyot, even in that case, mikra hadin, she would be allowed to eat truma, because kinyan kaspo certainly has been attained, even though in no way is an elevation of kedusha, because after all, this is ishus, which is the issur. Or the Gemara suggests Nivamos Nafsamat Zayin, the following Ha'ar. What happens, for example, if you have a woman who is married to a Kohen, right, and then the husband dies, and now this woman is awaiting Yibum. So in such an instance, she is not allowed now to eat Truma. Why is that true? Because again, the Gemara says that Kinyan Kaspo Amar Achman. And Baha Kinyan Da'achivu. Because after all, in order to eat truma, you need at least a kinyan kasto. Here, good, she's awaiting yibum. She is not married to the Yavam as of yet. There's a concept of zika, but she certainly is not an eshes ish beis habal. So therefore, she certainly can't eat truma. And if it is, she's not even considered to be like an arusa. After all, because arusa is a function of kinyan kasto, and there was no kinyan kasto, no maisa kinyan at all that was done between her, right, and the Yavam. So therefore, the Gemara says the Chiddush that a Shemeres Yavam, a Bas Yisrael, a Kohen, is not allowed to teach him at this particular point. It's a very important Chiddush, right, and the difference between an Arusa as opposed to an Nesua. One is a function of Kinyan, as opposed to the other, the sense of a Hayu Levasar Echad, that is considered to be, right, an extension of the Din of Kohenes that has that Tosefes Kedusha. One of the chakiras we're going to have to discuss in the very first lines of the Gemara, which is very important for the Din Rabbanan, Midaraisa, Arusa Basi Sola Chalas Petruma. Mid Rabbanan, right? That is not true. That's the exception that our Mishnah, the Gemara comments on, that maybe there'll come a time that even if they don't have Mamish Nisuin, will allow you to rely on the Ikar HaDin Daraisa, but Arusa Basi Sola Chalas Petruma. What happens in the case of Higia Hazman? And Bologna says, no, time has come for Nisuin. And again, the Chassan is dragging his feet, and Nisuin does not occur. Is there some window of time after which we will argue that now, right, this woman is allowed to eat truma? So the Din D'Araisa is the Rusa Basiso Lachelis Petruma, and the Din D'Rabbanan is no, you have to await, right, Nisuin. We'll have to discuss the following issue. What right did the Chachami make to forbid achilas truma? If the Torah writes that arusa basisa lachelas betruma, so how come our Gemara assumes that that's true midaraisa, but midrabanan, for whatever reason, that cannot be done? You have to wait nisuin. Is this an example for the akiras davar min haTorah, where the Torah writes that yes, and the chachamim say no, or is this not? That could depend on the following issue. When a kohen, for example, each truma, that's not just simply a heter. That's not just simply a rishus. That's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah sachima. That's what the Rambam writes in the Chos Trumos, in Perek Tezvah, Halacha Chav Beis, that it's a mitzvah for the kohen to do so. The kohen, for example, recites a birkas hamitzvah when he eats truma. Let's assume, for example, a kohen gives some of the residue of the truma to his behemoth. The fact that a behemoth kohen can eat truma, that's certainly not a mitzvah. A behemoth kohen eating truma, it means it's a rishus. That at times we won't consider it to be mechala, the kedushas truma, if a kohen gives it to his behemoth. Here, Rav Menachem Zemben, Zerav Ram, Simen Ches, raises this issue. An eishes kohen, is that a mitzvah? Or is that simply a heter? That an eishes kohen is allowed to eat truma. That will be very relevant for the opening sugya. When the Chachamim said, Arusa Bas Yisrael Achelas Petruma is the Din D'Araisa, when we say that's forbidden, what were they doing? Were they telling you that the mitzvah sakhila doesn't apply? Or maybe one could argue, that's not called Akiras Davar Min haTorah at all. There's no mitzvah of an Eishes Kohen eating Truma. It just simply means it's a Rishus. Just like, for example, Behemoth Kohen eats Truma. And you know, perhaps, maybe one could argue that there should be a difference between Erisin as opposed to Nisuin. After all, Lachar Erisin, where there was no Tosefes Kedusha in any shape or form, but rather all it is Kinyan Kaspo. Perhaps one could argue that that is not a Mitzvah Safila whatsoever. One can only perhaps begin to argue it's a Mitzvah Safila after Nisuin. There's a concept of Nishto Kegufo, a concept of Hayu L'Basar Echad. Perhaps at that point, one could argue this is true. This is also discussed in Minchas Chinuch, the Mitzvah Chaf Beis. To what extent do we assume again that an Eishes Kohen, either after Erisin or after Nisuin, it is simply a function of Tosefes Kedusha, not merely a function of Kinyan Etzem. But this is very important so far for understanding the difference in Erisin as opposed to Nisuin. And that's why the Gemara always assumes that the Pasuk goes out of its way and mentions She'ero like when mentions beso, it doesn't just simply mean im hayosi hi eleish, lashon havaya, makish havaya liyatsia, but rather there it means an eshes ish, who is in fact the base haba. This difference between erisin and nisuin is also crucial in what Rav Chaim discusses the role of edus v'kiyumah. When we discuss erisin, erisin is very straightforward. Kesef shtaram bi, mishnah mepureshes. That's the kinyan of ishus. When it comes to nisuin, as he pointed out, that is not at all clearly defined. Right, everyone agrees in principle, beis haval, but what is necessary in order to attain that status of a beis haval? Here Reb Chaim points out the following Kiddush. Whether it comes to Shvuas Nedarim, or Mekach U'Memkah, or Gittin Kedushin, we often speak about the requisite Das, which is necessary to create that Halos. You need Das for Shvuas Nedarim, you need Das for Mekach U'Memkah, certainly Das is necessary when it comes to Gittin Kedushin as well. But Reb Chaim explains that the term das does not mean the very same thing in each of these cases. There are three distinct levels of das for chalat arakum. The lowest level of das is al-pidin, what we refer to as das hafla, the amount of das which is necessary in order to ishkiyakli, in order to create an utterance, a hafla, shvuas, nedar, nezirus, and the like. And that's the chiddush of the sugya nidan daf mem hei mud beis, extending to daf mem vav mud aleph, that there's a concept of a muflus samuch liish, someone who is not yet bar mitzvah, a boy who is 12 years old, or a girl who's 11 years old, it's possibly neither isa for them to take upon themselves a shvua or an edit. This is what the Gemara refers to as muflus samuch liish. Rashi writes in Nidan Daf Mem Vav Mem Aleph that this is all based on the pasuk of Isho Isha Kiyafli Lindor Neder, a concept of Mufla Shamach Liish, one who is capable of an utterance even though as of yet they didn't reach the Shir Gadlus. So this is a chiddush that the Mishnah mentions Nidan Daf Mem Hei Mud Beis, but the Rambam explains at length in Perak Yud Aleph Hilchos Nedarim, that there's a difference between Shvuas Nedarim and Kol HaTorah Kula. You can have someone who midaraisa is incapable of a kinyan, because he doesn't have the requisite das mecha from emkar. At the same time, however, it's possible for him to be bar hachi, to be petoras, Shvuas Nedarim. So that's what Reb Chaim explained. This isn't just simply Xeris HaKosu, but rather it demonstrates that a lower level of das is sufficient for Nyanei Hafla, for cases of Shavuos Nedarim. As the Rechuk once explained, that therefore we understand the whole concept of Pesach and Charata and Shelas Chacham, that which is easiest to create, in other words, it only required a low level of Das, is the easiest to uproot. And therefore even a Pesach or Charata is considered to be sufficient. There's a concept of Shelas Chacham. And obviously those don't exist when it comes to a case of Mekach U'Memkah. The next level of Das is the normal Das that we require by Chalat HaRav Kula. Das Kinyan, for example, Das Kolne, Das Makne. That requires that a person has to be a Gadol. Shonim, Simanim, necessary, Midaraisa, in order to be the Toras Kinyan. Then Reb Chaim points to the following. The Gemara tells us an essential difference between cases of Mekach U'Memkah on the one hand, as opposed to Gittin Kedushin. And here the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Samachem Adveis, makes the distinction between Mekach U'Memkah as opposed to Gittin Kedushin when it comes to the role of Eidin. The Gemara says the following Chiddush, the name of Rav, HaMekadesh V'Eid Echad Ein Choshishin Kedushin. A person who does a Maisa Kedushin. And no one is in disagreement. The Gemara says, "Afilu shnei moldim." The Chasn admits, the Kal admits, everyone admits that it took place. There's no dispute, no din Torah. Nonetheless, that ain't choshesh in the kedusha. What do you see? A great kiddush. that there is no Kedushin at all without Abel. You jump down to the very bottom of that same Amud in Kedushin and Dav Samachem Adeis. Here the Gemara records the following. The Gemara says that Merzutra and Rav Abba Saba, they were brothers. They were both sons of Rav Mari Bar Isan. Poli Nitsayu Bahadeh Hadadeh. They simply divided up among themselves without any Edim property that they received from their father. The Gemara says that Oslu Kameh Rav Ashi. So Amrulei, the Pasuk says, Al Pi Shnei Edim Amarachmana. It's necessary in Dinim Amanos to have Edim. Why is that so crucial? Is it the Iboy Lemedahadr Lamase Hadrabahu? Is the need for Edim in Dinim Amanos only in case one person wants to retract, one person wants to deny it, he will not be able to do so because Edim will come forward? In other words, the whole purpose of Edis is only Libir Hadavar. In case there's a dispute, then it's necessary to use the Edim for resolution. Or should we assume, no, that's not true whatsoever? Odilma, lo mekayma milse ela v'sade. Should we assume that, no, the whole chalukah, the whole division, the whole chalos in dinim amanos will not be established unless they're Edim? So the Gemara answers that Amaluhu, Rav Ashi said that, no, lo ivru sade el v'shakrin. Crucially important. The entire purpose of Edim is simply to avoid checking. If one of the Balei Dinim will lie, and he will deny that the sever occurred, I can bring Edim to Bezdin in order to affirm, to verify that this in fact happened. So that very Dafin Kedushin, Samachem Adveiz, makes a crucially important distinction. When it comes to Dinim Amanos, the whole purpose of Edim is Val Ivru Sade El Shakr, simply to avoid Sheker. I lend you money, certainly the halva is binding, you're obligated to pay me back. However, the malva should secure Edim at the time of the halva in order to see to it that the lova doesn't deny. The Gemara even mentions the possible lifnei iver. If I lend you money and no one is there, it's as though I'm baiting you to deny it, because it'll be very difficult for me to prove without any raya whatsoever. But yet, in the very same daf, the Gemara says, what about when it comes to gittin and kedushin? No one is denying it. Chassan says it happened. Kala says it happened. There's even an aid that's there that says it happens. No. There the Gemara says, Ein choshesh in the Kedushin. So apparently, what do you see, Minei Ubei? That there's a very different role that Edim play when it comes to Gittin Kedushin, as opposed to when it comes to Dinim Amanos. When it comes to Dinim Amanos, then we certainly assume, Lo Ivri Sadei El Shakre. The whole purpose of Edim is the Bir Hadavah. Not true when it comes to Gittin Kedushin. They're using the language of the Gemara, Lo Mekayma Mil Selavisade. What does that mean? That you need Edim not just simply Labir Hadavah. Their Edim is necessary Lekiyum Hadavah. Without Edim, the Gittin or Kedushin is not Chal whatsoever. That's an inherent part of the Ma'aseh Yishus. There's a world of difference between Edei Birur as opposed to Edis Lekiyum Hadavah. Tosus raises, for example, in Sanhedrin, Daftes, right, the following Kiddush. At what point in time do you become an Eid? For example, Adindar Aysa, Nimsa Echa Kavla, Pasli Dusan B'Teilu. You have a whole group of Eidim, and one is Pasul, so therefore the whole Kat cannot be used, the entire unit. Or Tosus says a further Dindar Aysa, Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. If you're an aid, you cannot serve as a dayan in that particular case. So Tosfos writes, it's crucially important to know at what point you become an aid. So Tosfos quotes two very different views, machlokas between the Ri and the Rashbam. The Ri writes the following chiddush: the definition of an aid is an aid hamein. It means that once a person testifies in Bezdin, up to then he is considered to be an aid. And then we'll assume that Nimsef of Kavit Basin Dusan Beteva, or we'll assume that Ein Eid Nasadayim. And then Tosfos quotes the view of the Rashbam, that writes, no, not an Eid HaMeid, but rather an Eid HaRoed. If people will see something together, and Yiskavi Mahoid, Re'iyah alone is sufficient, are ready to assume that Nimsef of Kavit Basin Dusan Beteva, or to apply the principle of, look, you witnessed, already at that point, Ein Eid Nasadayim. Rushama focus between the Ri and the Rashbam. Whether Eidus is Nikva B'Shas Re'iyah, or whether it's b'shas hagana. The Gemara Makos in Daf Vav seems to address this issue, raising the following kasha. The Gemara says, if that's really true, that you always assume that nimse echad kol pasuk nusa b'teila. So the Gemara asks, ad absurdum, what about the following case? The Gemara says that horeg yatsil, or rovei yatsil, a person, Rachmana Litzlan, will commit a murder, and he will be considered as one of the Eidim. He saw what he did. In such a case, immediately now apply the principle of Nimsech at Karva Pasidus of the Tela, and therefore everyone who saw it will become puzzled. So the Gemara says, no, Horeg Yatzil. So we allow the perpetrator then to exonerate himself. No, he will be part of the Kat, and therefore by definition, Eidus of the Tela. How do you resolve that difficulty? So the Gemara answers with the following. No, the Pasuk says, Apishnei Eidim, Yakum Davar. What does Yakum Davar mean? The Mekayme Davar Akasav Medaber. What exactly does that mean? The Mekayme Davar Akasav Medaber? So that's the Machlokes Rishonim. How to understand the concept of Eidus. The Re understands the Havamin of the Gemara, which you become an Eid with Re'i alone. And the Gemara answers, no, that's not true. Mekayme Davar, you have to establish the case. When does an Eid establish the case? Only B'shas Hagada, not B'shas Ria. Ria alone is not enough. He comes to Bezin and he's made. Now he's a player. Now he's an Eid. That's true. And obviously, the Horeg, the perpetrator, is not going to be allowed to testify. So therefore, that's the answer to the Kasha. That's how the Ria understands. And what about according to the Rashbam, for example? It says that no, generally speaking, you become an Eid B'shas Ria. So what's the answer? Where the Gemara says that no, the Mekayme Davar Kosta Medaber. So Rashi makes a very brief comment. Rashi says the following. What does it mean, the Mekayme Davar? V'lo V'osei Davar. That's Rashi's Yiddish. What does it mean? Who can be an aid? The Chaloshim aid is only on a bystander, an uninvolved party. If you are the Osei Davar, if you are the Baal Din, then Al Pidin, you are completely excluded. Gemara tells us that Ein Davar Sheva Erva Pachos Mishnayim. As mentioned, one could understand in two very different ways. Perhaps the simplest understanding is any Chalos Davar Sheva Erva requires Eidus L'Kiyama Davar. And therefore, irrespective of any Das which is conveyed, any change in status certainly requires Eidus. Another possibility Reb Chaim mentions is that no, this is not true. We'll have to go through in detail, but this is the Reb Chaim in Perek Dalet, Hatochos Yivum Chalitza. That maybe one could argue is as follows. Different levels of Das B'chol HaTorah. When it comes to Mekach U'Memkar, it's true, a certain level of Das is necessary. We don't argue that there is, for example, full Das Kinyan when it comes to a Katam, and therefore it's necessary, good, that he be of age to express a proper level of Das. But it's not necessary to have every act witnessed. Every time I make a Kinyan, did Imam and also have to express that Das in a public fashion, in the presence of Edim? Certainly not. That's exactly what the Gemara says, though, Ivra Sadeh El Veshakre. The purpose of Eidim is simply the Bir Hadavar. When it comes to Gittin Kedushin, that requires such a heightened level of Das. Therefore, that Das must be expressed in a more public fashion, namely, in the presence of Eidim. Maybe one could argue that, again, the Chiddush of Eidus L'Kiyam Hadavar is not just simply in Chalos, but rather, it's a function of Das. What would the difference be? The bottom line is, Gittin Kedushin certainly requires Eidim. Whether it's a function of Chalos Davar Sheberva, Das Davar Sheberva, why should it make a difference? Let's say, for example, you could come up with cases where certainly everyone agrees it's a Chalos Davar Sheberva. Everyone agrees that the woman now is undergoing a crucially important change in status. But yet, no das is required. Would you require Eidus L'Kiyama Davar, or would you not? V'may nafka mina. Let's start with the following case. What about Yibum and Chalitza? Does Yibum and Chalitza require Eidus L'Kiyama Davar? This is necessary, for we'll see the Reb Chaim, and then we'll relate this to Nisuin. to what extent does Nisun require Das? Erisin certainly does. But to what extent is Das required in order to become an Eishes Ish, who is a Beis HaBaal? Does Yibum require Eidus Lekimah? Why is Yibum a classic example? Is Yibum al-Kedin considered to be a Chalos Davar Sheberva? Of course it is, no? Without a doubt. Prior to Yibum, this woman is not the full Eishes Ish. She is al-Kedin, right? Simply, Zekuk al-Yibum. She's awaiting Yibum. Let's assume, for example, during that period of time, she should be Mizanah. So when is she violated? There's no Isra of Eishes Ish. There is no Chiyuv Nisa. Let's assume during this period of time she should marry someone. Machlokas Amarai, Masafek of Shmuel. Whether there is Tfisas Kedushin or not. Once there is Yibum, in such a case, she's Gishto L'chol Davar. She is an Eishes Ish. Right now, if she be Mizanah, there's a Chiyuv Nisa. If she be Makabel Kedushin from someone else, of course it's nothing. There's no possibility of Tfisas Kedushin Eishes Ish. She's a full-fledged Erev at that point. So Yibum certainly, no doubt, is a chalos davar sheberva. Status absolutely changes. But does Yibum require das? Certainly not. That's what the Mishnah tells us in Yevamos. And daf nun gimel adveis. Yibum does not require das. Afilo hayashem shodgin oanusin. The pasuk just simply says Yevama yavalel. No das is required at all. The Maisa Yibum itself is sufficient in order to render an Eishes Ish. So here you certainly have a Chalos Ishus without any requirement of das. If you look in the Tshuva's Binyan Siyan, it's unbelievable. He writes that he received the Shaila in his lifetime. He writes this in Chelek Aleph, in Kuf Mem Zayin, in Chelek Beis, in Simcha. He received this case. Someone was Nifter, and after the person was Nifter, so the Almana was Mizana with the brother-in-law, without realization of a mitzvah of Yibum. Right? That's the Shaila he received. Right? So was there Das? Das is not necessary. But they certainly did not have Eidus Lekima Davar. Are they married? No? Or do you assume no? It's considered to be a Biasnos. Does Yibum require Eidus Lekima Davar? Or does it not? Not at all. Explicit in the Gemara. That's a crucially important question. If it's a function of Kalos, then of course, Yibum is a critical stage of Davar Sheberva. But the Mishnah tells us that Das is not necessary. The Pasuk just mentions, Yivama Yavaleh. Tosu seems to discuss this issue head on. The only difficulty is that you can read this Tosu in two opposite ways. This is the Tosus in Kedushin, and Daf Yud Beis and Adin. The Gemara says the following. How is the Hish and Iknis? How do you perform Erisin? So the Mishnah tells us, Kese, Shtar, or Bia. See, even though the Torah says that Bia is an option of Erisin, the Gemara tells us that Rav Mangit Amanda Mekadesh Bia. That Rav used to give Malkus to Rabbanah, and anyone who would use Bia as the vehicle of Erisin. Look, is it Chal? Of course it's Chal. What better way to demonstrate issues? But Rav said it's inappropriate to use Bia as the mechanism for issues. Why is that true? The Gemara says, Mishum Pritzitz. Pritzitz. What exactly does that mean? What's the problem? Why is it Mishum Pritzitz? So Tosus, they're in condition of Yedeis Lodeis, Ramasko Mishum, quotes Rabbeinu Tam and says, you know what the element of Pritzitz is? Lefish Yitzarech O'edi Bia, O'edi Yichud. And V'davar Mokhua, Shemamet Edom Alka. You know why it's called Pritzitz? Because you need Edom for Kedushin. Not proper spirit to have Edim, Edi Bia, Edi Yichud, and therefore Rav suggested Kesef, Shtar, not Bia. Bia is the problem of Pritzus, which is Edim. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's understanding. So listen to the Kasha Tosus. Tosus writes, this cannot be. Pitzutza cannot be Eidus Lekimata. Why? Because Tosfos writes there's a parallel Gemara. Yevamos and Daflun Deva. The Gemara Yevamos says the following. When it comes to Yibum, all the Pasuk says is Yevamo Yavalev. But Midrabanan, as you know, the Chachamim said that no, we want there to be a prior stage to the Din of Yibum. And what is that called? Mamash. Kinyan Kesed. This is not necessarily Midaraisa. Midaraisa is no such thing as Kesed between the Yavam and the Yavama. Only Midaraisa Yavama Yavaleha. But the Chachamim instituted a Kinyan Kesed Drabanan, which is called Mamash. And the Gemara writes, Nivamas and Daf Nun Beis, if one will do Yibum without the prior Kesef Rabban of Maimon, the Gemara says that is called Pritzutza. The same Pritzutza as Rav, Maimon de Mekadesh B'din. So if one will use Bia as the vehicle of Kedushin, that's Pritzutza. And if one will engage in Yibum without, again, the prior kinyan of Maimah, that also is Pitzutz. That's what the Gemara writes in Yevamos and Daf Nun Beis. So Tosfos writes, the reason of Rabbeinu Tam that the Pitzutz issue is because of the need for Eidim. That is obviously not relevant to the case of Yibum. V'hasam, lav yishum eidim tal yataima. There you cannot explain Pritzutza in terms of eidim. So Pritzutza must be something else. The Rish says Pritzutza means that a person engages in a maisa bia without any prior relationship. So therefore, Rav says, before the Maisa Bia occurs, you want there to be a Kinyan Keser. And the same thing when it comes to Yibum. Before the Maisa Yibum occurs, you want there to be a Kinyan Keser. To engage in Bia without any prior form of Kinyan, that's called Pitzutza. It can't be what Rabbeinu Tam says because of Eidim, because that's not relevant in Yibum. Why is it not relevant in the case of Yibum? What is Rabbeinu Tam? What does that mean? Why is that irrelevant when it comes to you? You can understand the Tosfos very, very different ways. One way is the following. This is what the Shar HaMelech writes. The Shar HaMelech is found in Perek Beis called Yibum HaChalitza, and he interprets the Tosfos this way. What do you see from Tosfos? Does Yibum require Eidus Lekima Davar? Or does it not require Eidus Lekima Davar? So Shar HaMelech writes, the Tosfos is assuming that Yibum requires Eidus Lekima Davar. Just like Kedushin requires Eidus Lekima Davar, Yibum requires Eidus Lekima Davar. That's Tosfos' assumption. That's exactly the kasha against Rabbeinu Tam. How does the kasha work? According to Rabbeinu Tam, what's the pitzutza? That you require that via is done with eidim, at least who are aware. Eidei via, eidei yichud, that's improper. So Tosfos writes, that will not apply in the case of Yibum. Why doesn't it apply in the case of Yibum? Shar HaMelech understands Tosfos to mean the following. Because Yibum is certainly a chalos dover sheberbo. The woman goes from being, right, a Yavam Lashuk, a Shemeres Yavam, to an Eishas Ish. That's certainly because they just became a Dover. That's a chalos dover sheberbo. So do you need Eidim Lekimadar for Yibum? What's the answer? Yes. So let's assume, for example, the person does as he's supposed to. Maimer Drabanan. So Midrabanan, right, he gives her Kesef, a form of kedushin derabban in the presence of Eidim. Good, wonderful. But midaraisa, that's nothing. There's no such thing as kedusha kesef when it comes to yavam yavama. Midaraisa, you need yavama yavaleha. And that ma'aseh bir requires Eidim. That ma'aseh bir will require Eidim, irrespective of whether you did maimer or you did not do maimer. No? So therefore, you cannot apply the reason of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's reason applies in Kedushin. If I use Bia for the Kinyan of Yishuv for Erisin, you need Eidim. So there's a way out. If you'll just simply do Kedushay Kesef, so in such a case, the Eidim will witness the Kesef, and there's no need for Eidim Biridi Yichud. That's Rabbeinu Tam understood Pritzutza. So they don't understand very well to insist that A day B is inappropriate. But that's the Kasha Tosus. That doesn't apply in a case of Yibum. Because even if you'll have Eidim who are present at the time of the Kinyan Kesef Derabanan, you still need Eidim to be there midarais, at least Eidim Yichud, for Yibum. So therefore, the Eidim issue is irrelevant as to whether you did Maimer or whether you did not do Maimer. No? That's how the Sharamelech understands the Chiddush Tosus. Tosus assuming as a Dabra Pashuk that Yibum requires Eidus Lekima Dabra. And if you look in the Bir HaGra, the Gaon disagrees. In Eben Ezer, in Kuf Samach Vav, in Siv Beis, the Rama writes the need for Eidim when it comes to Yibum. And the Gaon just has one small comment. The law mashma came to Tosus Kedushin Daf Yabez on the base. Against Tosus. In other words, the Tosus assumes you don't need Eidus Lekima Dara for Yibum. That's how the Gaon understood the Kasha Tosus. Maybe in its simplest form. Rabbi Natam writes that the Pritzus is an Eidim issue. No, that doesn't apply to Yibum. Why? Because Yibum does not require Eidim. That's what Tosus means. You're telling me the whole Pritzus is simply because you have to engage in a Maisabia with Eidim, realizing that that's occurring, Eidei Yichud. That's irrelevant to Yibum. Because Yibum does not require Eidim. That's how the Gaon understands Tosus. No? Unbelievable. The Gaon understands Tosus saying Eidim doesn't require Yibum. And the Sharmelech understands something the opposite. Yibum absolutely requires Eidim, even if Maimer is done. So why is that called Pritzus? You are not doing anything at all to avoid the Eidim issue. Can't be avoided. Because Yibum, by definition, requires Eidus Lekimadav. As we'll see, it's Mepurash Machlokas Rishonim. Whether Yibum, in fact, requires Eidus Lekimadav. Take a look. Right, we'll continue tomorrow with this issue at the piece in Reb Chaim. Right, it's found in Perek Dalav Chetes Zayin about this Yibum Chalitza. Why is it that Eidus Lekima Davar is necessary? Right, we'll see why this is so relevant. Right, the issues of Erisin and Nisun. Because if we can demonstrate, for example, the Rambam Shita, that only Erisin requires Eidus Lekima Davar. Nisuin does not require Eidus Lekima Davar whatsoever. Why? Because Nisuin does not require Das Davar Shaberva. Nisuin is just simply, right, the reality of an Eishes Ish who is Beis HaBaal. You read, for example, the Tosus, right here in the Beis Amin Aleph, where Tosus is bothered. Why is it that the Mishnah tells us Besuin Iseis? Why doesn't it tell us Nosin Esabesula? And Tosus answers a pretty great kiddush, the Di Tani Hachi. If the Mishnah would say any differently, Nosin Es HaBesula, you know what we would have said? Afilu Bal Karacha. You could create Nisuin against the will of the woman. How is that possible? Well, take a look at the Rishash. Take a look in Shita Mekubetzes. Does Nisuin require Das? Even the Maskana, That Tosfos teaches us that, you know, Bisulin Yisus tells you, you can't create Nisuin against the will, right, of a woman. That does not necessarily mean that you need Al Pidin, Das Dover Shever, but it is the Kima Dover. It's a crucially important issue. We'll discuss, for example, Agos Maimonot. Let's assume, for example, you have a girl who's a Ketana. Her father will convey Das, no? Let's assume, for example, the father marries her off and there is Erisin. And then, unfortunately, the father was Nifter. Can she become a Nisuan? Because if Nisuan requires Das, she can't provide Das. And the father was not Nifter. And anyone else's conveyance of Das would most be only a Dindra Banan. Is she called a Nisuan, a level of Daraisa? It's a crucial issue. What is the role of Das and Eris Lekima Davar when it comes to Eris and Nisuan? This is why the Rishonim will have such difficulty in placing their finger on what the definition of Nisuin is. Because it is not the full kinyan of Ishus. It just simply means now she is Besos Elishka. Now she is Shera HaKara Vela. At what fixed moment, right, does she become an Ishus Ish with a Besos Elishka? So Bezmas Hashem will pick up with this issue. Take a look at the Rav Chaim. And then you can take a look at the Mechaber Lama quote. Right, five sheets, quotes the Ran, right, on our daf, Yisun is Dabbeza Meralot, as far as the actual definition of Nisun itself. I'd like to try to have shared a little bit earlier on Thursday. Many of you have told me that there's some conflicts that you have.